You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
My name's Pastor Dave. My name's Dave, rather than Pastor Dave, Dave Reardon. I have the great privilege of working for an organisation called Youth Alive. You may be able to look at me and say, he doesn't look that youth. I've been working with him for a long, long time. And I work alongside Pastor Bev, who, honestly, Bevan was in the office on Thursday, but there is so much love for Pastor Bevan in our organisation. He is incredibly good at what he does, and I didn't even know he played guitar. And so this morning I put on the staff chat, look at this guy, you know. So as well as being an IT genius, as well as being the youth pastor, as well as being a great hubby, he's also a... The title of the message this morning, if you're taking notes, and you should take notes, otherwise you won't remember anything. So write this down, bring a bucket. Bring a bucket. So it's the start of 2025. There's a little bit of hope in the air. There's a little bit of expectation. There's lots of different messages coming at us. Obviously, it's Australia Day. There's going to be lots of headlines today. This morning, I want to talk to us about expectation, about hope, about how we set ourselves up for what we hope will be a great year. Does anyone have hope in their heart that's going to be a great year? Like I think that's a good place to be. I know that life's tough. I know that the bills are coming. I know that some of us are dealing with things. I know that some of us are nervous about what the doctor's going to say. I understand all those things, but I also know that that we can live in a place of hope and expectation because God is good and he's still at work. Does anybody here love a miracle? I love a miracle. My boys were just on youth camp last week. They came back so excited. They said, Dad, we saw a miracle. Like a literal physical miracle, somebody whose ankle was all busted up and they went and dipped him in the pool. It was very biblical. And he actually got healed in that moment. And my 13-year-old son came home, Dad, I saw a miracle. It was so good. I love a great miracle. My sister, four and a half years ago, had the worst day of her life. The worst that she phoned me up. She's in tears. She says, stage 4 cancer. Terrible. And I flew over to Perth to be with her, and the doctors said, game over. And she's got 4 weeks at the most. And we prayed, and boy, it's tough in those moments, isn't it? And I understand what it is to pray and not see miracles. I've buried both my parents, and we've got a funeral this week for something. You know, we understand. But then 2 months later, her Muslim doctor walked in and he said these exact words, Sharon, you have your miracle. And he handed her the x-ray and all of the cancer. I'm talking 100 tumours switched off. You know, I love a miracle. 5 years later, she's rolling on strong. You know, she'll be in church in Perth this morning. I love those big miracles. I love medium-sized miracles. I went on a camp one time, a camp when I was running Youth Alive, and we went on this camp. And just during the praise and worship, there wasn't a big, you know, visiting speaker coming and laying hands on people. It was just during the praise and worship, God met someone right at the back, a guy called Josh, his name was. And he came, he gave a big holler and he came running out the front. His twin brother came with him to sort of certify, I guess, and testify. He says, I used to have 15 warts on this hand, Mason. 15 warts roll over this hand. And as I lifted my hand in praise, 15 warts fell off my hand, which is disgusting. Right? I would not like to be the cleaner. That is gross. So it was a medium-sized miracle. It was pretty cool. And then there was a little miracle. Just those ones that, you know, you could almost let them pass. Like the person, honestly, the person getting to church this morning, next year, just turn the person, a little bit of a miracle just that they got there. Right? Sometimes we just let these little ones pass and we go, oh, that's just whatever. Fortuitous. I remember we were in Perth and we were broke. Like, as in just not, wasn't that we didn't have any money on us, we didn't have any money. Like, not no money. And so, of course, being in Perth and maybe in Geelong, when you don't have any money, what do? Because it's free, you go to the beach. That's right. Like Sam did yesterday. You go to the beach. We went to the beach. I had two boys at that time because the third one hadn't come along. And so we had our two boys. I took them to the beach and they got their floaties on and they're just floating in the water. And I was at the beach and it was getting sort of late-ish. It was maybe 6:37, which I know in Perth is a dangerous time for sharks, and so I shouldn't have been there, but I was. Everyone else had got out of the water. There wasn't a soul in the water except me and two little boys with floaties on their arms. And they drifted past me, and being about 6 o'clock, they said, Dad, can we get fish and chips? Because we're hungry. And I felt so bad because I didn't have a dollar. I said, I'm so sorry, boys. We don't have any cash money. And they were well used to that terminology. They were well used. They said, okay, Dad. I said, but boys, what we do have at home, we have a loaf of bread and Vegemite. 5 more minutes and then let's head. And they drift off. Okay, Dad. And as they drift off, I'm like, oh, my heart's just heavy. And I'm like, oh, man, I feel like I'm somehow missing it. And out of the corner of my eye, no one around, I saw this yellow thing drifting here. And this $50 note just drifted past me. I reached out and got it, and I'm like looking around, because I'm trying to be honest, right? I'm trying to be an honest guy. There's not a soul, there's no one except me and two little hungry boys. And I held it up in the air, and these are my actual words. I said, hey, boys, Jesus just bought us fish and chips. And they're like, yay, Jesus. And we went and feasted that night. So it could have just been fortuitous, but I like to think it was a little miracle, right? So today I want to talk about, you know, when you're in the middle of a miracle, you got to bring a big bucket. See, sometimes we go, oh, I love the end of the story. I love miracle stories. So good, so inspiring, so encouraging. And yet when you're in the middle of a miracle, guess what? It sucks. It just stinks. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. The doctor looks nervous. The marriage looks rough. The kids aren't here this morning or don't want to go on camp or whatever. You know, it's just tough when you're in the middle of a miracle. And so I want to take us to a passage today where this woman was having the worst day of her life. Now, when I say that, the worst day of your life, some of you immediately go to that phone call or go to that thing that happened, that accident. You know the worst day of your life. And in 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7, I hope it's on the screen because I forgot my glasses. So, hallelujah. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha. Elisha was a great prophet. Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, and now his creditor, the bank, is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to us, how can I help you? We don't really know the tone that he used. It could have been, how can I help you? Or it could have been, how can I help you? We don't know. But what we do know is he didn't do anything himself. He says, tell me, what do you have in your house? Point number one, if you're taking notes, and you should take notes, otherwise you forget everything. What's in my house? What do you have in your house? And she answered and said, I have nothing there at all except a small jar of olive oil. The first thing that we want to talk about is familiarity. You see, I like this story. I love the illustrative nature of this story. I love the fact that, you know, when the woman who was having the worst day of her life, she was already a widow, maybe recently widowed. Her husband, who was a good man, who served the Lord, he was maybe the associate prophet, if you had such a thing. He was a minor prophet to the major prophet. He was there. He served the Lord. He was passionate for God. And then life happened and he died and she became a widow. There was no Centrelink, of course, back in those days. There was no safety net. And in those days, if you had debts, you couldn't just declare bankruptcy and be forgiven for those debts. You had to find a way to pay. And unfortunately for her, the way that the creditors, the bank decided that she had to pay was that we are going to take your children. And they will work in the mines or work in a wealthy home, but they will not live at home with you anymore. We'll put them to work until your debt is paid. Now, every mama in the place, you know if that's happening in your house, you've sold everything. Like, she's sold the jewelry. She's sold the wedding ring. She's sold the furniture. She's got rid of... And even then, the coins stacked up and the stack didn't pay the debt and the creditor said, I'll be round tomorrow to take your boys. And in desperation, she went to see her husband, her late husband's boss, and said, please help me. Now, I don't know quite, again, it doesn't really tell us her attitude, but there may have been a sense of, certainly there was a sense of hopefulness, but there may have even been a sense of entitlement of, hey, you know what? He did good things serving the Lord. Now it's time for God to turn up for me. That can be a good attitude, but it also can get a little bit toxic and get a little bit, hey, God, you've got to look after me. And so she turned up and said, please help, I'm desperate. Maybe in her heart she had imagined that when she got there, she would go up to Elisha with his long beard and his long cloak and he would just reach into the deep pocket of his cloak and he would pull out a bag of gold coins and jingling coins and would hand the coins and says, go and pay your debts. Maybe that was her hope. He didn't do it. He said, what have you got? Just turn to the person next to you and say, what you got? I actually think it's a question that God is asking us in 2025. What have you got? What have you got to contribute? This whole seeing miracles in 2025, this whole expectation that we have for a better year, it's not a solo act. God's not a soloist. God's into duets. And he says, hey, yes, look to me. Where does your help come from? Your help comes from the Lord. But I'm not just going to, you know, hover around picking favorites, sprinkling fairy dust on you, no, you, no, you. That's not the way God does it. He says, what have you got? You know, sometimes we allow familiarity to creep in. I've been really conscious of it lately, of trying to be grateful for just little things, trying to be grateful for my boys, trying to be grateful for my wife, trying to be, you know, just reminding myself, God, how could we have come so far? How can, I've been married 29 years. God, how amazing that as a young fella, I made a decision that 29 years later, I'm still just reaping the rewards of a beautiful marriage. Well, God, I'm so grateful for those things. I'm trying to remind myself, because sometimes what happens, we walk past the answer, but we're so familiar with it. You know, I love that story in the Bible that Jesus said. He says that a man walked through a field and he stubbed his toe. Other people had walked through that field before him, but he walked through it. He stubbed his toe. He looked and he found something under the surface. He said, what have I got here? What you got? And then he realized that there was great treasure under the surface. We get familiar. Does anybody here love going to the Salvos? You love the Salvos or going to Vinnie's? Any thrift shoppers in the place? Yeah, yeah. You're wearing a thrift shop shirt right there now, Trent. He's telling me this. My boys, I've got three boys. They love the Salvos. Like it, they don't want vouchers to Maya. They want vouchers to Vinnie's. That's for birthday, Christmas. Just they love it. My son comes home recently, Matthew. He walks in. He doesn't have any money. Like, he's broke, like his dad used to be. And he holds up this jacket. He goes, Dad, I went to Selvos, bought a leather jacket. And I look at this jacket and I look at him and I go, what'd you pay? He goes, oh, $20. Yeah, bargain. $20. I said, well, okay, that's cool. And I'm thinking in my head, you don't have $20. Oh, it's probably your last $20. I said, did you need it? He goes, nah, I'm going to sell it. And I've got to be honest with you, I like to encourage my kids, but in that moment, I rolled my eyes. And I said to him, what are you going to sell it for? You're going to sell it for $50, mate. Then you're going to pay $30 postage. You're going to make no money. Like, I was encouraging. I was, I said it with a smile on my face. But I wasn't, like, I was like, come on, man. And he says, nah. He says, Dad, I'm going to sell it. You wait. 1 hour later, he comes down from his bedroom. He walks in, he just stands at the door. He's like leaning on the door. He goes, I sold it. And I turn around. I said to him, okay, mate. He's got a smile on his face. I say, what'd you get? You got $70, didn't you? You can make a sweet 20. He says, Dad, I sold it for $2,000 to a collector in London. I know. That's what I said. $2,000. It's a 1984 Stussy original leather jacket. Apparently that's a thing that you collect these days. But he walked into Selvers. I'd been to that same Selvers. I'd walked down that aisle. He had gone to Selvers and he'd spotted something that everybody else had missed. I said, let's go. I got my keys. We're going to Selvers right now. Right, amazing. So here's the thing. What's in your house? What are you walking past right now? Maybe it's God's been speaking to you about studying again. You go, I don't know. Maybe God's been speaking to you about getting involved in church. And you go to church, you love your church. This is a well-loved church. You know what? I'm sitting on the front row going, wow, look at the screens. Look at this. This is fresh. I'm looking at this church. Maybe you're familiar with it, but this is only the second time I've been here. So I'm looking around going, this is a well-loved church. I can just tell. You guys are doing a great job. Your leaders are doing a great job. And maybe you're almost familiar with it. Of it's just church, it's just Gateway. And maybe God's actually stirring something. You go, come on, it's time. Come on, let's get involved. Come on, get that gift going. Come on. Yeah, I know it's been a few years. Yeah, I know that maybe you find something, get involved, because there's treasure under the familiar. What's in my house? Number two, God's way is rarely quick and easy. Rarely, not really. It's important, the vowels, you get the vowels in the right order there. God's way is rarely quick and easy. It says, Elisha says, okay, here's what you're going to do. You are going to go home and get the boys. Have we got that next little passage, the next little block of scriptures? Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for the empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. This is a really familiar story, you know it. But there's a couple of important things here. This story is not about the prophet. Sometimes we go, oh, what's the man of God going to do? No, this is a story about the boys and an unnamed widow. This is the story about somebody who's in the middle of a miracle and it stinks. This is a story about somebody who's having the worst day of their life. This is a story about somebody whose January hasn't been all that they were hoping it would be. This is a story perhaps about you. He says, then go inside, drag all the empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. What a cool miracle. Then she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought all the jars to her and she kept pouring. And when the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. And they said, there isn't any. And then Elisha said to her, go sell the oil. Understanding oil wasn't the $2 bottle of canola oil that you get in Coles. It was really valuable stuff. And so when they were pouring this oil, they are pouring money. They're just pouring cash right now. That would have been an epic, epic moment to have seen. Understand this, though. It wasn't easy. Like, remember that 35 degree day? We're all so Victorian, right? We think 35 degrees is hot. I was talking to someone from Geraldton, West Australia this week. They said Geraldton had 53 degrees this week. Can you believe it? Like, the state government put out a thing saying, don't go outside, right? Now, I'm a redhead. At about 22 degrees, I get that message, all right? Don't go outside, all right? But we 35 degrees, we were sweating. We were hot. It was hot this past week and the week before, right? And here they are saying to these boys in the Middle East, it might have been 40, might have been 41 degrees. Go out down the street. Go to Gladys's house. Go to Mary's house. Go to Uncle Tom's house. Go wherever you know someone and even knock on random. Bring as many pots as you can. And so they begin dragging these pots, sweating, doing all the work. She's doing the pouring. They did all the work. And as they did, the miracle flowed. Has anyone ever heard of 7-Eleven Day, kids? You ever heard of 7-Eleven Day? It's a good day, right? It's a good day. My 13-year-old son, he's got four favorite days in the year: his birthday, Christmas, junk collection day. He loves it. And 7-Eleven Day. Right, where you go and you take, you can go and you get a cup and you get, what happens, kids, at 7-Eleven Day? Get a free slushy, slurpy, I'm not sure, slurpy, slushy, got a little bit of marital conflict there. You get a free, I'm going to say slurpy. I'd never heard of it before. I used to be working at a church in Sydney, and it's where you get this on the 7th of November, 7-Eleven. They give you free Slurpees. And back in the day, you used to be able to take your own cup. So it wasn't just that you got a little cup. You could take like one of these big, giant, oh, they were here before, you know, one of these big ones if you want. You get a free. I remember 7-Eleven, the first one I ever saw, someone came walking down the aisle of my office and I had a big glass window there and they called out, "G'day, Pastor Dave. 7-Eleven Day." And they waggle this cup. I'm like, that's a strange greeting. I never heard of it. 2 minutes later, someone else. "G'day, Dave. 7-Eleven Day." And they got a different cup. Next person comes down. Big cup. 7-Eleven Day. Okay, I'm starting to get a sense that something's happening. And then I heard this sound, like this sloshing sound. And this guy, a big guy called Pat, he came down the hallway and he had a brand new, just bought from Bunnings, one of those big black bins. And it was brimming, right, with Slurpee. And he is coming down with his cigarette. He's going, "G'day, Pastor Dave. 7-Eleven. He lifts it up and he's just going on his face. And he was a guy with big expectations, right? He brought a big bucket. And about 2 hours later, I heard the sloshing sound come and it all melted. It was just this brown, viscous mess. And I just put my arm around him. He says, Pat, it is finished. It is finished." We went and poured it out. But he's a guy who had big expectations. And I think in January, like, forgive me for being an optimist, but I think we should bring a big bucket. I think you should look at your family and go, "Hey, you know what? Could that family member take a step towards Christ this week, this year? Could my neighbour, could I build a friendship with a neighbour with the ultimate hope that I could share faith with them?" And it's going to take time because God's way is rarely quick and easy. There aren't too many like instant sort of miracles. Most of them take time to happen. Could I see something happen in my career? Could I get that my finances in order? Could things begin to happen in my marriage? Could I? What have I got? Could I improve my marriage? Could I improve my relationship with my kids? If you want to break through in 2025, bring a big bucket. Stir yourself. Jude 1 says, "Stir yourself in the most holy faith." It's not for Pastor Bev or Pastor Lee to jump up and stir you. They'll do their absolute best week on week praying for you and preaching from the pulpit. But honestly, the word says stir yourself. And maybe one of the things that you go, "Oh, really, does the word say that?" One of the things that you could do is give yourself a plan. Get a plan. Write it down. Tell your wife. Tell your husband. "I'm going to read the word of God every day. I'm going to do it this year. I'm going to get on a great podcast and I'm going to listen to the Word of God be preached. I'm going to jump on the YouVersion app or the Bible app and I'm going to do that daily. I'm going to try and get a streak on the Bible app. You know, who's got a streak on the Bible app? I'm on about 140 days at the moment. You know what happened 140 days ago, Bevan? Main event. We went to Youth Alive main event and I didn't read my Bible until after midnight and broke my streak. So I was a little bit disappointed at that. I was on a couple of hundred days before that. Anyway, number three. We're going to finish with this in just a minute. Faith doesn't eliminate pain. It gives it purpose. See, the widow, even when it was tough, she actually could have shaken a fist at God and said, my husband served you and we believe in you and he died and my boys are about to be taken. She could have shaken a fist and I don't think anyone would have blamed her. It didn't eliminate the pain, but it gave it purpose. She might say, what purpose? What possible purpose could there be for what I'm going through? Maybe the miracle that you're hoping for is that you can testify to your neighbours or your friends or your family. Maybe the fact that you'll come through this year stronger and healthier and with more faith, despite everything, is so that people can look and watch on and go, there's something different about them. You know, there's 276,000 people in the Geelong region, 276,000 people, 59%, according to the latest survey, 59%, write that down, are open to reading the Bible. 14% of non-Christians are open to reading the Bible, believe in God, believe that Jesus was the Son of God, and believe that he died and rose again. Why are these people non-Christians? I don't understand. That is, I wrote it down, I got out the calculator, that's 39,000 people within about a 20-minute drive of this church actually just need you to join the dots. They are already there. They believe in God. They're open to the Bible. They believe in Jesus. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They believe that he died. They believe that he rose again. The only thing that hasn't happened is they've never met you. Maybe you are part of their miracle. Just as the band comes, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you a question. What if everything that you are going through is all building up to the fact that you are part of somebody else's miracle? Now, you might go, hey, I need stuff in my own life. Absolutely, you do. And God's really mindful of that. And he cares. And he loves you. But what if ultimately this was not about just that moment? This was about the boys. What if it wasn't just about the widow's debt? This was about the boys seeing God move. We don't know what those boys were called, but we know that for the rest of their life, they would have told their children, their friends, their neighbors, how good God was in showing up for them. Sometimes what we go through is just so that we can minister to other people as well. So with everyone's eyes closed, just as the band begins to play, I want to ask you three questions related to the points. Number one, what's in your house? What is it that you're just walking past, gotten familiar with, forgot to be grateful about? What's in your house? What's the simple things that God say, hey, dust that off. There's treasure under there. Dust off your quiet times. Dust off that evangelistic edge that you had as a young man. Dust off those things that have just become familiar. Dust off, for some of you, your marriage. Used to look lovingly in each other's eyes. Dust that off. Take time for each other. Make time. Begin to just speak life and love and kindness into your family members again. Is there something that God's challenging you about? maybe for some of you, we say God's way is rarely quick and easy. For some of you, are in the middle of a miracle and it stinks. It's tough. I want to just remind you that God loves you. He's with you. He's on your side. And he's working things out for good. And finally, for those of us who are going through it, I want to remind you this morning that there's purpose to the pain. That there's purpose in this moment. God's building you, and God wants you to reach your world. This morning, we're not going to pull you forward or do any sort of show of hands, but I do want to just give you the opportunity. If this morning you want me to pray for you, we're kicking off into the year 2025. If you want to bring a bucket of expectation, bring a bucket of hope, bring a bucket that things will grow and improve, bring a bucket for the church. Hey God, we'd love to see every seat filled. We'd love to see a youth ministry flourishing. We'd love to see a kids ministry with more kids than we know what to do. Lord, we're going to need more leaders. Maybe that's part of what you're going to use for me. If this morning you're saying, God, I want to bring a big bucket. You're going to blow the dust of disappointment away and bring a big bucket of expectation. If that's you this morning, why don't you put your hand on your heart and let's pray. Beautiful. Just take a few seconds. Talk to God for a few seconds. This is where I'm at, God. This is what's happening with me, God. Use me, God. Use me, God. Lord, I'd love to be part of somebody else's miracle. As much as I want to see a miracle myself, in my family, Lord, I want to be part of somebody else's miracle. Let's pray. Jesus, help. Jesus, help. Jesus, here we are. The start of 2025. Help us, Lord. Use us, God. Inspire us, Lord. We got a bucket of hope. We pray, Lord, that you fill it. Miracles, signs, wonders, souls, salvations, new friendships, forgiveness, renewed relationships that have been strained, Lord. Jesus, help.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.